Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says that there's coming a time that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. This is where Satan wants people to go. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In the opening paragraph of chapter 4, John issues a stern warning to believers, do not be deceived. In fact, the first six verses are so strong, our teacher, Pastor Jack, will be spending a lot of time in this passage. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
It's His grace and His mercy that He adds other things to us. You know, He's all that we need. The beautiful thing about that is now because we are so secure in Christ, we can now move out from that position and love other people. We don't have to worry about it. What if they step on your face, Jack? They will. But aren't you going to make yourself vulnerable? Yeah, but that's what Jesus did, and He's really good at recovering you if you walk in His footsteps. He's very good about it. Well, aren't you going to get hurt? Yes, sometimes you get hurt. I have found something personally. The more I have my eyes on men, the more hurt I get. The more I have my eyes on Jesus, the more resilient I become. And it's not the kind of resilience that's putting up with. You know, it's bizarre. And I thank God there's so many ministers in this church. I don't want to get derailed. Just real quick, this is so sweet. The contractors, they're figuring out offices and stuff. And I shared with this, I think I shared this with you recently, where they're talking about, well, you know, offices. And you, well, I'm thinking, you know, well, there's how many of us here? There's just a few of us. So, you know, let's have two more offices. And the guy goes, you're crazy. You got to think 15 years down the road. Yeah, but why? The Lord's coming back soon. Let's just add two more offices to the... And he said, no, you got to think. And the thing is, we determined, you know what, we're not going to have very many offices. You want to know why? We're not going to have a very big staff. We don't have a very big staff now. I remember when we had 1,500 adults, there were two pastors. Remember Guy? It was Guy and I. You might say, well, you know, and the body suffered for it. No, not the body learned how to minister to one another. I believe in that. If we teach the Word of God, the body's going to minister to one another. But listen, I can't counsel all the people that attend this church. I'm not supposed to. And by the time Thursday, which is when I usually do counseling, by the time Thursday comes to an end, you don't want to talk to me on Friday. Why? Go to the Lord. We have a little flyer that invites people to know Jesus Christ, and at the very end, it says, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ, ask Him into your heart. And if you have any questions, ask God. Then call us at Calvary Chapel. Ask Him. We have a divine relationship, and it works. It's real. 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. There is that relationship again. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. That means we love one another. John 13:35 says, by this, Jesus says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Isn't that the great law? Very important that we love one another. We need to strengthen, by the way, one another in our affection and love for each other. We need to strengthen. We need to reach out. Please, please don't come to this church and not reach out. Don't breeze in and breeze out, or maybe that's the wrong word. Don't run in and run out. We need each other in this church. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. By the way, Jude believed Jesus was coming back at any moment. Love one another and keep yourselves in the love of God. How are you going to do that? We've got to be accountable to each other. That's why, thank God, we got these men's groups to pray and to keep in contact with each other. And the women's group and the fellowship that they have together. We need this. Don't think in these last days that you're going to be an island and survive. You won't make it. These are difficult days. Listen, we have a divine birthright. We have a divine relationship. We have a divine confidence. We have a divine confidence given to us by God. And yes, I'm still on the word beloved. The church tonight, by the way, tonight and every day, 24 hours a day, the church, regarding this fact of us being beloved, is that we are divided into two camps. And I'm not talking about church division. I'm talking about something that is much more fruitful than all that stuff, and certainly absolute truth. And that is, there is the church triumphant. Do you know what that means? There's the church militant and the church triumphant. The church is only in two places. There's the church militant. That's supposed to be us. And that sounds kind of violent, doesn't it? But it means the church active. If you're not active for God, then you're not active for God. And you should be deactivated. But you're either active for God or you're not. You're either going for it or you're backsliding. But there's the church militant. Then there's the church triumphant. You know who the church triumphant is? Those who have gone into glory. We're in two spots right now. There's the church that's in heaven and the church that's here. The church that has died since the thief on the cross to this moment in heaven. Then there's us here. The church militant. We're to vote a certain way about Prop 22. We're to pray. We're to witness. We're to share Christ. We're to help the homeless. We're to visit the widows and the orphans and the church militant. That's who we're to be. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 9 says, very important verse, Hebrews 6, 9 says, beloved, there's that word, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. That's good news, beautiful news. And so we have a birthright. We can be secure in Christ. We have a relationship with God. We can be secure in Christ. We have confidence in God. We can be secure, or because we are secure in Christ. The second thing that we see tonight is this, that the Christian is discerning of spirit. Can you jot that down? The Christian is discerning of spirit. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Go back there with me in your Bible. Genesis 2 verse 15. And listen to what he has to say. And I want you to follow along. Get your pen ready because this is quite interesting. The Christian is discerning of spirit. What do we mean by discerning? It means because the Holy Spirit lives within us. The fact of the matter is that we have the ability to know intuitively by the Spirit of God right from wrong, heresy from orthodoxy. Genesis chapter 2, listen, verse 15. Watch this carefully. Then the Lord God took the man, that's Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree, mark this, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I'm going to read that one more time, beginning in the middle portion of verse 16. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Period. That's what God said. No problem. Then look at Genesis 3:1. Watch what happens. And notice how Satan deceives. This is amazing. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, that's pretty freaky. Snakes could talk back then. That's weird. Quote, watch, listen. Listen to what he says. Has God indeed said, putting a question mark, doubt, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Sowing a little bit of doubt in there. Listen, you guys, we all need to be alert to this. This is exactly how Satan works with us. Very, very subtle. Has God said? Is that true? Maybe you should check the Greek on that. Maybe you should check the Hebrew on that. Maybe that's not exactly what John meant. Maybe the Bible means something different. You ever heard that before in your head? That's from Satan. He says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's not what God said. Listen to this. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. Did God say, don't touch it? Lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Listen, not only is he casting doubt, the next thing he's going to do is he's going to suggest to Eve that God's been holding out on her. He says, for God knows that the day in which you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. That's Mormon doctrine, by the way, and the New Age movement. Algorism. Truly, it is. He believes that. Knowing good and evil. Did God say that? No. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant for the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, all carnal things, by the way, she took of the fruit and ate it, and so she gave to her husband and he ate it. First of all, Mr. Snake Eyes did this. Satan questioned God's word. You got to jot that down. He questioned God's word in Eve's hearing. He questioned, hath God said? He questioned God's word. Second thing, he denied God's word. God did not say this. He questioned God's word. He denied God's word. He substituted God's word. Well, Mrs. Adam, Eve deleted from God's word because God said of the trees you may freely eat. She never used the word freely. She left freely out. Eve added to God's word, nor shall you touch it. God never said that. Listen, the Bible says if you add or take away from the Bible, you're going to hell. Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, and Revelation both warn of that. The third thing that Mrs. Adam did is that she changed God's word. She said, lest you die, changing it from in the day that you die. God had warned them from the very get-go, you touch this tree and you'll spiritually perish. But she didn't recite it that way. Satan's goal, my friend, is to absolutely deceive you. The Bible says that there's coming a time that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. This is where Satan wants people to go. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's Satan's goal. That is his desire. That's what he wants. The Christian is to be discerning of spirit. How so? We're to be cautious followers, thinking. It says, do not believe every spirit. That's important. Do not believe every spirit. Why? For the Bible says, for what profit is there? For if a man might obtain the wealth of all the world that it has to offer, and yet at the end of his life lose his own soul in hell. What profit is there? We're to be cautious followers. Do not believe every spirit. Why? Because one of the spirits is to get us to think about money and to think about possessions and to think about things. And you know what? If I just had this or the other thing, then maybe I'll do better or whatever. And that's one of Satan's traps. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Chances are there's people in the sanctuary that are caught up into that very trap. If I just had this, then everything would be better. Or maybe in your marriage, maybe when the money's flowing in, you're fine. But when it's a little lean, now you're at each other's throats. That's a carnal foundation. And God would have that changed. We're to be cautious followers. Followers, yes, but cautious, thinking and being reasonable and looking to the Word of God rather than to the experiences that are around us. And, you know, you get a new car and the next thing, the commercials come out and your car stinks. You got to get this one. It's got the newest GPS system on it, and you'll be super sure that you'll never get lost. What a sucker you are. You're getting GPS'd for the Antichrist, you know, so he can follow you everywhere. No, I'm kidding. Hopefully you'll be raptured and the Antichrist can have your car. But, you know, oh gosh, I got to have this, you know, and then the other thing, and it can be a trap. It's not wrong to have things, but to make it our pursuit, that's wrong. That's going to get us. We have to be careful. In Jude chapter 1, verse 17, it says, Beloved, remember that the words of our Lord that he spoke to us and the apostles that spoke to us, how they told us that there would be mockers in the last day who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. I heard of a minister the other day. He's a minister. He's on TV. He gets $5 million a month. Ho-ho! And he's on TV. And he's on TV saying, send your money in. Keep this ministry going. Never mind. Oh. $5 million a month. What could you do with that? I know that's nothing to what Bill Gates makes, but that's not bad money. What would you do with that? There's no way. But getting in trouble with that kind of money. I mean, even if you only made $1 million a month, you could get in trouble. That's pathetic. Wow, I'm a minister of the Lord. Yeah, who's the Lord? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir you up, your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken of you beforehand by the prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days according to their own lust. Be careful. He says, do not believe every spirit. Be cautious as a follower. Be a cautious follower. Why? The word do not means to interrogate or to have an interrogative mindset, to be cautious, almost negative in the reception of words and ideas, being slow to believe in what is being presented. Isn't that interesting? Do not believe, he says, every spirit. But somebody might say, oh, look at this, you know. And she's talking about something and you're going to hear it and you're going, what in the world is she talking about? I've watched it 5 times. I still can't figure out what she's talking about. But the people are cheering and hooting and hollering because she says, we felt goosebumps all over our body. And the crowd of thousands goes crazy. Do not believe every spirit. That doesn't even take an evil spirit. It takes just a feather up your back. Satan knows this. He can produce a feather. We're to be diligent students of the Word of God. It says to test the spirits. This is a great word to test. It's that word taken out of the assayer's office. You know what an assayer is? It's a one who pours acid on gold or silver to see if the metal's truly true. I had a man walk into my office a couple days ago and found gold. And was going and went and did a, you know, whatever you do when you find gold. And he says, I just want you to know I'm going to be given 50% of whatever God gives to the church. And so then I prayed, oh God, may he find lots of gold, you know. But what happens was that what he found, he had to take down to the assayer's office. And they poured acid on it. They found out that not only is that very, very, very high quality gold, but the ore that's wrapped around it is very high grade ore. How's that found out? By pouring acid on it. Well, what does the acid do? Removes all of the impurities. to test the spirits, literally, I wish I could make it more graphic, pour the Word of God on it and see what happens to it. Are you guys with me or are you asleep here? Pour the Word of God on it. Yeah, but Charles Stanley said, pour the Word of God on it. But Pastor Jack said, pour the Word of God on it. But Billy Graham said, pour the Word of God on it. But the Pope said, pour the Word of God on it. Pour the Word of God on it. In 1 Timothy 3:15, the scriptures there say, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the church is to be about. Listen to this. The church, this is a quote, the church ought to be with Bible in head, in heart, and in hand, as it judges what is right for every situation of life. That's a good quote. Test the spirits. The word spirits here, you notice it's in the plural. It's in the Greek word pneuma. You have ever heard of pneumatic? Wind-driven, air-driven. The word pneumatic or pneuma here in the Greek is a current of air to check out the direction of the wind, the direction of the current, either by water, air, or spiritual activity. Test it. Demonic spirits are the originators of aberrant messages. Demonic and fallen angels are real, and they're active. Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. They transform themselves into apostles of Jesus Christ. And it's no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing that his ministers can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Listen, did you hear that verse I just quoted? That's 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. But how many of us believe this? We're shocked when we hear that someone's giving out some sort of false doctrine. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone falls down, it's Satan's plan to get Christian leaders to fall down. But thank God, we're to restore them in a spirit of grace and meekness and gentleness, right? We're talking about false doctrine here, not falling down. Apollos, who in the earlier portions of the book of Acts, he didn't know much about Scripture. He just knew what John the Baptist's message. So he preached it. Then Priscilla and Aquila pulled him off to the side and expounded to him the Word of God more fully. And then Apollos went out there and preached the full gospel. That's fine. And that's acceptable. But false doctrine? Leading people astray? More of that in the near future.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, it's a multi-part series called Living in the Days of Deception. Now, Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception, is a series within a series. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that every Monday night on hischannel.com, you can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Again, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's our TV program where Pastor Jack deals with, well, just that, real life issues and topics. Now, tonight's Real Life with Jack Hibbs will be particularly fascinating. Pastor Jack and his wife Lisa will discuss preparing for marriage. Now, even if you are already married, you know somebody who could really benefit from this discussion. In the coming weeks, we'll be airing special editions in this series on marriage. And tonight, you'll see part one, which deals with preparing for marriage. That's Real Life with Jack Hibbs, one of our weekly television programs. It airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock Pacific Coast Time on hischannel.com. In fact, we've got a link to it at our own realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to get a hold of us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.